Well, this is it. This is the fourth and final week of our series on mastering money. Mastering money. My kids, I've thought over the years that money doesn't grow on trees. Whose dad or mum once told them that money doesn't grow on trees? My kids got quite confused, though, when I took them to a bank and they said, well, if it doesn't grow on trees, why do banks have branches? Hey, see what I did there? See what I did? I know, right? I know. So anyway, we're talking about mastering money. It doesn't grow. Well, then another smart kid goes, it does grow on trees because paper comes from trees and money's made out of paper. But anyway, apart from that, we're talking about finances, and you'll find if you read the Bible that Jesus talked a lot about money. He talked a lot about finances because he realized that money will dominate people's lives, and money has a tendency to pull us away from God rather than towards God. And so we take time each year to spend some time talking around finances, understanding that God wants you to be blessed in your finances. The Bible talks about he wants you to have all sufficiency in all things, and an abundance for every good work. He wants you to have enough for you and your life, and he wants you to have an abundance to be generous to people around your life, to sponsor Compassion Kids. Like last week, 13 Compassion Kids got sponsored from our church. We're over. How many are we up to? Over? Well, we're over 200 and something. We'll find out exactly soon. Over 200 kids in Thailand and Uganda are being released from poverty because God has made given us an abundance for every good work. So this is the aim that God has in our life. And so to bring you up to speed with the tires, if this is your week one, if you haven't caught the other series, here's the essential thought behind it. And it goes along the lines of this. There's not one silver bullet to fix your financial world. It's not just do one thing and it'll all get fixed. It's a myriad of things. And the picture I've had over the years is if you're in a car, whatever is your flattest tire is going to restrict you. So there's four tires. I've tried to drive a car where one went flying and there was only three. And can I tell you, it didn't work. And so many Christians, particularly I've found with time, have found if I'm just generous, then I've heard that God will bless me because I'm generous. And I go, well, that's great. That's one wheel. But if you've got one supercharged wheel but three flat wheels, how many know the car's not going to go very far? If you've got two really pumped up wheels and two flat wheels, how many know you'll probably go around in circles? And I know too many believers whose finances have been going around in circles for years. So the whole idea of this is four basic things to make sure they're working right. And so we started with this wise stewardship. Everything I own belongs to God. And I've got to learn how to budget, how to be responsible for it, how to work hard, how to learn how to invest, how to learn the value of finances. That's wise stewardship. You can listen to these messages to catch up. The next one is a right mindset. You've got to have a right mindset about you. Many people believe that they don't deserve to be blessed. That's the wrong mindset. That'll stop you getting blessed. Many people believe that God doesn't want to get them blessed. And they can pray a prayer saying, bless me. But if you think he doesn't want you blessed, your thoughts will trump your prayers. Many people think that money is the answer to all their problems, but then they'll never have enough if that's what they think. That's mindset. So we've got to get our mindset right. Last week, we talked about generosity. We learned that the Bible principle is when you give away, you are sowing, and God will multiply the seed back into your life time and time again. And for Danielle and I, this has been something we've proven the Bible principles for the last 20 years as we've gone on a journey of understanding generosity. And then the last one I want to talk about today is faith, a spirit of faith. A number of years ago, I was talking to a couple in our church about their financial world, and they were disappointed deeply at that time. They said to me, you know, it's just not working. We've tithed. We've been, you know, good stewards. We've worked hard. We've done all this stuff. And we've given generously and we've given sacrificially, but it's just not working. It doesn't work. And I said, okay. Just a real simple question. I asked them a few questions about stewardship, a few questions about mindset, a few questions about sowing, and realized those three tires are working really well. So I just asked a simple question. Okay. How much time a day do you spend praying about this then? And they went, what do you mean? I said, well, See, it's not just a matter of those three things. Faith actually actively prays into areas that we're believing God for. And it sounds to me like you've got a head knowledge that this will work, but your heart doesn't believe it will work. Therefore, if your heart doesn't believe it will work, you've got to go to work in prayer with God and you before the principles will actually work. You've got to activate your faith in this area. And they begin to activate their faith, and I saw them begin to walk into the blessing and the generosity that God wanted to show towards them because they were generous. And so I wonder in this room today, and there will be different moments, and many times, many of us will have different seasons we go, but I wonder if faith might be the lowest common denominator that some of us need to go to work on. Faith. And so I want to talk about three things around faith, and I'm going to tell you just a few stories from Dan and I's, our own journey to encourage you in this. And I tell you these stories not to brag, not about, you know, how awesome are we, but really to illustrate the power of when we put the Word of God into practice in our life. I'm convinced the Word of God works. It works, okay? So the first thing I want you to know about faith is faith seeks God diligently for answers. Faith seeks God diligently for answers. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says this, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What I want us to understand this morning is salvation is a gift from God. You can't earn salvation. You don't work for salvation. It's not a reward for anything. It's a gift that God gives us in our lives, okay? And that's the first gift that God gives us. But I want us to understand when it comes to God and so many of the areas in our life that flow out of that salvation, we need to go after them and we need to pursue God for them. We need to understand that He rewards us when we diligently, say diligently, diligently seek Him. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says this, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. So here's how it works. I've got a problem, a challenge. This isn't just about finances. I often think like this. I think finances is 101. It's faith 101 that will flow into the rest of your life when it comes to praying for your friends to be saved, when it comes to praying for healing, when it comes to pray for God answers in all our areas of our life. I believe finances, when we understand this, the principle of faith will flow into all these areas. But today I'm teaching it in the aspect of finances, okay? So you go, all right, God, I've got a challenge. I've got a problem with my finances. I would like to own a house instead of renting a house. I would like to have a job that I'm enjoying that pays me more than I'm currently earning. I would like my business to go to another level. You start with a problem or a desire and you bring it to God and you pursue, you desire, you bring that desire before God diligently until something happens. Not like, oh, I did it once and God didn't answer, so, oh, looks like He's not that interested. No, 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 no. Faith is about a persistent, diligent pursuing of God. And the Bible talks about like getting in His face. He talks about knocking and keeping on knocking until you get the answer that you need in that area. And so there's a persistence in pursuing God. When this happens, you'll find you go, okay, how long do I pray for? Oh, but Jürgen Matthesius, a great friend of our church, has written a book called Push. Pray until something happens. How long do I pray until something happens? How long do I pray until God gives me an answer? How long do I pray until God's... And so this is how God responds to us often. Sometimes he answers your prayer just by doing what you asked for. I prayed for it and God did it. And I did the party celebration because that was awesome. Particularly when you're a new Christian. This is kind of how it works, okay? Then you go on a journey, and then sometimes you pray and you seek God, and He says no. He speaks to you about it, and it's like, no, this is not my perfect plan. This is not the direction I want you to go. Very clearly, He says no. That can happen sometimes. Sometimes you don't get an answer. It's like He's being silent. So what do you do then? Give up? No, you just keep praying until He answers. He's testing you to see, will you diligently seek Him? Do you really believe He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him? He's testing to see if that's in your heart. And then, but many times the way God answers us is by giving us a promise. A promise. See, God, when you're a young Christian, God likes to answer your prayers for you. But as you mature as a Christian, God likes to answer your prayers through you. He likes you to be able to experience the joy that he has of creating things from nothing. It's called faith. Framing your world with the word of God in your mouth. And so God, when you seek him and you're praying, he gives you an answer. And usually that answer comes in the form, it might come in the form of a dream, which is a vision that you have while you're asleep. It might come with a vision, a picture you get while you're praying, and you can see it, you feel the presence of God, and you know God's given you that vision, and it's a reference point. Sometimes it's a prophecy from another person they didn't even know, but they came and said, I saw this picture for you, or God told me this for you, and it's the answer to your question, your request. More often than not, for me, my experience is when I'm praying to God, he brings a verse in the Bible alive to me as a promise. We call it a rhema word. It's where God, as you're reading the Bible, it illuminates to you and you get a promise from God, and that's your answer. I remember we've bought three houses over the years that we've lived in ourselves. Each one of them have been a working of a miracle and a cooperating with God in seeing things come to pass. But the second one was, I remember being in our garage, which was my study in Budrum, and praying and saying, God, I like this house. It's quite cool, but it backs onto a main road. I'd like something quieter. I'd like a big yard. I'd like it to feel protected. I'd like it to be somewhere we can retreat to without everybody driving past looking into our yard. Love a swimming pool. And so I prayed this prayer and I said, Lord, I really like you to give me that answer, diligently seeking God. I prayed, and here's the cool thing. I got up the next morning. Now, it doesn't often happen this quickly, but in this particular case, it did. I got up the next morning and I read a scripture and it jumped off the page at me, because that's how God speaks to us more often than not. The Bible verse jumped off the page to me and said, and I will lead you to your desired haven. I'm like, woohoo, God, you're going to lead me to a haven. That's exact. It's like God knew the word that I was looking for that I didn't know, but I had that feeling in my heart. I'll lead you to your desired haven. So we went and we sold our house, and we did really well out of the sale of that house. And just as we started to look for the next house, a lady in our church, who's a prophetic lady, rang up, and we were looking. Our boundary was Budrum to Kawana. We didn't want to go to Caloundra. Caloundra was the wilderness. Budrum was the promised land back in those days for me, okay? That's where I was. I was quite verbal about it, in fact, at church. If you were here in those days, I used to pay out on Caloundra. That's okay. So, all right, to all the Caloundra people, I was one of you for 12 years, so it's all right, okay. So we're going, it's time to look for this new house. It's time to look for it. Lady from our church rings up, because we're praying this prayer, God, you're going to lead us to our desired haven. God, you're going to lead us to our, God, you're going to lead us. She rings up, she goes, do you want to know where your house is? I said, yeah. She goes, I've seen it. I've had a vision of it. And she described a house in Little Mountain. And I'm like, well, that's not where I'm looking. And that's actually often part of how faith works. God gets outside of exactly what you thought. You let him out of the box and he's got something better than what you thought. And so we go, and as she said it, I remembered an ad for a half an acre property in Little Mountain. And it just came quickly to my mind. We drove there. We looked at it. It was the ad for it was terrible, but the place when we got there was exactly what we needed as a family, this beautiful place. And God led us to our desired haven. That is one of the ways God works in terms of faith. He gives you a promise, and then as you speak the promise, he works through that promise in your mouth. So let's just start with that. Faith seeks God diligently for answers, and often it comes in the form of a promise. Now, when you've got a promise, that's the beginning point. The second part of faith is this. Faith declares the promise of God until they happen. Faith declares the promise of God. I like to think of it like this. Faith is voice activated. Faith is not someone else activated. Faith is my voice activated. I activate faith in my heart. And here's really what faith looks like. If we go to Mark chapter 11, I'm just going to skip to this one. Mark 11, 22. Jesus said, have faith in God. My faith's not in me. My faith's not in people around me for this stuff. My faith is in God. For assuredly, I say, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. This is Jesus talking to every one of the disciples and believers who would ever follow him, helping us understand the power of prayer. And he says it like this: if you say and don't have doubt in your heart, whatever you say will be done. Whatever you say that you believe without doubt in your heart will be done. Whatever I say, if I don't have doubt in my heart, will be done. It's the way we're created in the image of God to create things with our word. Hebrews 11:3 says this: by faith we understand that the world was formed. How? By the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. There was nothing except God's word spoken with the Holy Spirit hovering over his word, and the power of the word of God created something out of nothing. That is what faith is. So God says, yeah, you're a baby Christian, pray, I'll do it for you. But as you get older, I want you to have the joy of being made in my image and creating the same way I do. I want to get my promises in your mouth so that when you speak my promises out of your mouth, you will have the same thing happen. You'll create your world out of my word in your mouth. It's the most exciting journey of Christianity to understand that God. Now, you can go to the world and the world will tell you, oh, your confession is powerful. What you say is powerful. The secret, the law of attraction, yada, yada, yada. All of those are a cheap imitation of the true principle of the power of creation. And the missing ingredient is God and his word in your mouth. The word of God won't return to him. So once I've got the promise, I'm like, here we go. It's a sword in my hand. It's a creative tool to create with. Here's some things that happen when you speak the word of God, your voice activated faith. Here's a few things. I like to think of it like this. When I was a new Christian, I was down here. God was up in heaven on the throne, and I'm praying, God, would you do stuff for me? Okay? God, would you do stuff for me? Now, as I get mature and I understand that I've been made in the image of God, that I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, I understand as I begin to pray and I experience the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, as I pray with him, he's leading me up into the presence of God. The blood of Jesus Christ is the doorway, therefore I'm righteous. I come in and I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. He says, this is where I want you to live your life out, not down there begging me to do stuff. I want you to come into a heavenly realm to speak things into earth. As right now, speak those things that are not as though they were. So here's four things that happens when you're in the throne room with God and you've got your promises, you know, and there's time for intimacy and worship and connection, but there's other times where you've got to go, hang on a minute, God, right now we're putting the relationships aside and I'm just going to come before you until I get an answer. And he goes, so four things. That the first thing is I'm reminding God of his promise. Father, here I am right now, and you said to me, God, I'm reminding you, I'm going to get my order to the top of the list. I'm reminding you, God, this is what you said to me. Don't forget what you said to me. Come on, God. You know, God loves it when you're in his face. When Jesus talked about prayer, he talked about a woman who came to a judge. And who just the Bible says she was audacious. It was a barefaced audaciousness that got her result from the unjust judge. And Jesus said, that's how I want you to pray. Now, some of you are sort of like, oh, God, it's just my finances. I don't really want to bug you. I don't want, you know, there's way more important things than my things. Wrong mindset. You're his kid. He delights in your prosperity. He's just waiting for you to get up in his face. He's waiting, like, in a, you know what I'm saying, a respectful way. So there's this audaciousness. Hey, God, it's the audaciousness of one of your children who knows that you owe them something. Hey, Dad, you know how you said you'd give me 50 bucks? Hey, Dad, you know how you said you'd give me 50 bucks? Hey, Dad, you know, and you know, eventually that audacious, unashamedness asking is what gets Dad to move. That's the first thing that happens when you, hey, God, you said, Father, you said that you'll give me my desired haven. Father, you said that you would give us our land. Father, you said, it's just reminding God of the promise. That's the first thing that happens. You're stirring him to action. The Bible says, give him no rest until he establishes his covenant. That's like, you know, he's like, oh, big day. And you're like, hey, God, no resting. You told me. He loves it. A religious thinking will tell you, no, 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 just whatever God's will. Oh, let His will be done. Oh. It's like, I already told you my will when I gave you the promise. So now I want you to pray the promise into reality. This is how faith works. Oh, I'm preaching here today. The second thing is, we're reminding God of His promise, but when I'm in the throne room, I'm making sure the promise makes the journey from my head to my heart. Because my head can know God wants to bless me, but my circumstances are screaming at me. Everything else is happening. It's not working. You're getting knocked back on those offers. You lost your job. All this stuff's going on. I'll get to that in point three. So the whole point of faith in the presence of God is just to say, God, you promise me. You promise me. This is what you said. As you speak the word of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. You're the greatest faith preacher in your life. You voice activate your faith by getting in the presence of God and said, no, you said, I know the facts are this, but the truth is your word. I know I'm not denying the facts. I'm not denying I've lost my job. I'm not denying my business is going backwards $2,000 a month. I'm not denying any of those things. But what I'm telling you and I'm telling myself is, God, your word said, that's truth. Truth trumps facts. Oh, that was good too. I like that. All right, here we go. Some of you, there's a little too much mentions of Trump. Just the whole world of Trump is scaring you out. But we'll use some other words in a moment. All right, what else is happening? Well, we're speaking the word of God. We're defeating the devil. He hates you understanding the authority you have. With the Bible calls it the sword in your mouth. It's the promise of God. It's the word of God. As you're in the presence of God with an audacious, come on, this is my promise, and speaking to the enemy, get off my life. Yeah, I might be going backwards. Yeah, things might be looking terrible, but I'm telling you, my God said, and you're declaring the truth. The enemy hates it. It's your great way to defeat him. And then finally, this is the thing, when that word goes from not just being in your head as a possibility, and you fight all the anxieties and your heart gets filled with faith, your word goes out and you're in heaven and you're declaring things. And as you're speaking them and seeing them and imagining them, angels are being released to bring those things to pass, because your word is creative. You're framing your financial world by the words that you speak. It's the power of God in us. Am I helping anyone here today? So let me give you an illustration of how this worked for us. A number of years ago, we did our budget like good, wise stewards. This would be maybe 18 years ago. And we realized, hey, we're about $500 a month short with what our budget would like us to do. And so we're like, all right, let's pray about this. Is this a stewardship issue? Do I need to get another job to work hard? Sometimes the way you get ahead is the hustle. And so maybe that's what I need to do, get another job. But Dan was working 3 and I was working 2, so that wasn't the option at that point. Maybe it's cut back our expenses. That's a genuine way to get onto our finances. And so I'm looking at all these things. We prayed about it. We both felt like God said, this is a faith issue. It's not a mindset issue. It's not a stewardship issue. It's not a sowing issue. We're sowing. That's way above our tithe. That's not an issue. It's a faith issue. I want to grow your faith. So we said, all right, Lord, we want $500 a month for our budget to balance. But actually, we'd really like $1,000 a month, because $500 a month, that's just the basics. We'd like to go out for coffee. We'd like to go out to the movies. We'd like to shout some friends some dinner. So let's make it our faith project to believe God for $1,000 a month. Okay, just understand. So we began to pray. We began to seek God diligently. And then God gives us a scripture. The promise is out of the Psalms, and it says, your work will give you what you need. Blessings and good things will come to you. I'm like, woohoo, we've got a scripture. We've got a promise. Once I've got a promise, man, I'm unstoppable. That's the reality of it. We're going to lock in now. I've got a promise from God. I know this, it might get hard, but I've got a promise. So we started to pray, and we just made a determination. We're going to pray together every day for 10 minutes on this particular issue, because we need to activate some diligence around our prayer life so that word goes from being a possibility to a reality. So most days we would get together, we'd say, God, we need $500 a month. We'd love $1,000 a month. And we thank you for your promise. Your work will give you what you need. Blessings and good things will come to you. The Bible's loaded with promises of provision. It's amazing. When you start to open your eyes, the Holy Spirit will illuminate your promises. So we're like, all right, we need, Lord, it's a bit of a faith project. We need $500 a month. Well, the first month we got a Centrelink payment. It was about $2,000 that we didn't expect. We had little kids. We didn't expect it. We're like, cool, that's 4 months worth. So we kept praying. God, we can do this for years if it comes to it. We don't need you can just keep providing random amounts to us if it comes to it. We're praying, our faith's growing. We would have found over the next 6 months or so that a number of different people, unexpectedly, some not even from our church, just gave us a $500. Said, God's spoken to us about giving you $500. This is different to the driveway story I told last week. This is just, I don't know why I want to give you $500. We're like, boom, that's this month. God, your work will provide what you need. Blessings and good things will come to you. We kept praying the word of God. Then after, I can't remember exactly, but months, we had a particular situation. We determined we wouldn't ask for a raise in our job. We wanted God to be the one who was making this happen. And both of us got a raise at exactly the same time. And you know, the value of the raise was $2,000 a month. And it reinforced to me that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think. But you've got to be asking and thinking if you want to activate God moving. For us, that was one of the great moments where we saw God move specifically and our faith was rewarded. All right, the last thing I want to talk about here right now, remembering this, faith diligently seeks God until he answers. Second thing is faith declares the promises of God until he answers. And the third thing here is faith perseveres through testing times. Testing times. Because this, the nature of a faith journey is there will be a test. There will be a few different types of tests. There might be a reversal. Joseph is a great example in the Bible where God gives him a promise, his brothers will bow down to him. And then he finds himself in jail. That's what we call a kingdom reversal. The opposite happened. In Psalm 105:19, it says this, until the time that the word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. You're like, what? Yeah, God tested him. God said, I want to really see what's in your heart. Will you worship me even when things are going in the opposite direction of the promise? What's in your heart? Will you rejoice in me even if it's a reversal? Will you keep believing what I've said? Even though the opposite is happening, kingdom reversal. This is the test of faith. Sometimes what you've got to remind yourself when things are going really bad is, this is just a test. You know, the fire alarm that goes off in the middle of the night? This is just a test. You lost your job, but God gave you a promise of provision. This is just a test. What's the test waiting for? For you to get the promise of God into your heart. Bible tells us this. Okay, other types of tests can be setbacks. So one test is the reversal. Another is you believed for this thing to happen and it didn't happen. We looked together for our first house, and we had these promises from God for our first house. We had a restricted budget and we wanted a particular amount of money or a particular type of house. And I remember the first place, we're all pumped up. We've got faith for this. God, you're going to do this for us. You're going to give us our land. The first house we look at, this is it, we found it. Then we get the building inspection in, oh, it's got cracks in the wall, it's no good. Setback. And we had our faith, like, this is the one. Then we found another house, like, oh, and I'm like convinced this is the house. I've locked in, I'm praying, the promises, this is the house. And they wouldn't accept our offer. We're at the limit of our offer. That's why stewardship, the limit of our offer. They wouldn't accept our offer. I kept praying, I'm like, no. I'm like binding everybody getting this house, this is our house. I still remember the day that I sat in front of that house when the new owners moved into the house. I'm like, it's going to fall over. It's not going to happen. Our house. Another setback. Here's what I've found about faith. He says, get your promise and put it towards something. But don't worry if that thing doesn't work out, because everything you've put into that, I will just roll forward to the thing that I was always thinking about anyway. Always thinking about. So here's the thing. My faith is never in the thing. My faith is in God, and I'm projecting my faith towards a specific thing. But if that doesn't work, we just move on. Our church is believing for some specific land right now. I believe it's the land that God's got for us. But if that doesn't work, I'm not going to fall out of my tree and cry. I'm just going to get up, dust myself off, and go, that was disappointing. But God's word has not changed. His promise is still the same. So the setback, there's the reversal. Sometimes the test is just a delay. 3 years ago, you promised, and we've done this. 4 years ago, you promised. 5 years ago. 6 years ago. I've found this, that delay is not denial. The seed is still in the ground that you've sown. You can activate it with your faith. Galatians 6 verse 9 and 10 says this, let us not grow weary while doing good. It's talking about giving. It's talking about giving to those who come and visit in the church. For in due season, get this, we will reap if. This is the link between generosity, sowing and reaping, and faith. We will reap if we do not lose heart. We will reap if we do not lose heart. It's been 5 years, nothing's changed, things have got worse. You will reap if you do not lose heart. The Bible says in the same passage, God is not mocked, what you sow you will reap. You will reap if you do not lose heart. How do I keep my heart alive? Through setbacks, disappointments, through difficult times. I get in the throne room with God and I say, Father, you said your work will give you what you need. You said, I've chosen your promised land. You've said, and in the declaring of that to God, I get real about it. God, I'm disappointed. It's been so long. God, I'm disappointed that I've had the setbacks. It's got worse. That's my facts. But I choose today to not live under my facts. I choose today to live by the promise of God, and I am going to activate my faith. I'm not going to lose heart. Hebrews 6:12, do not become sluggish. That's the opposite of diligent. But imitate those who faith and patience inherited the promises of God. Faith and patience. Hebrews 6:15, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promises of God. We come to a close here this morning. Faith is voice activated. Seek God until he gives you the promise, the answer that you need. Speak, declare the promise of God no matter what's happening around your life. The power of your future is in the word of God in your mouth. And thirdly, persevere through the trials, the tests, and the delays. What I want us to do right now is I want us just to close our eyes right across this place. I felt even while I was preparing this message that there'd be people in this room today, and you've been through testing seasons, and you've been discouraged through by the delays, you've been discouraged by the setbacks, you've been discouraged by the reversals, and you find yourself having one thought in your head, but in your heart, struggling to believe God for his blessing on your finances. And if today you're saying, you know what, John, that's me, but I want to activate my faith by diligently pursuing God, diligently, not being sluggish, would you pray for me as I step out of the sludge of my past into a new day? If that's you, I want you just to stand up right now and say, that's me. I need to get my faith activated for my finances especially. I need to get my faith activated. I need to get my faith activated. Right across this room, people standing up. I need to get my faith activated. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that you do not lie. Your word always comes to pass. I'm asking right now in the name of Jesus, where discouragement has settled on hearts, even right now, where discouragement has settled on hearts, even right now, in the name of Jesus, let that discouragement go. Holy Spirit, wash away the disappointments. Wash away the discouraging words. The lies of the enemy, let them be broken today in the name of Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, that the word of God would come quickly, strongly to people in this room right now. Quickly and strongly. Quickly and strongly. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, activate your faith. Diligently seek God. Can we all stand together right now? The conclusion of that story, I should always tell the last bit of that story, is God led us to two other houses. And I remember the real estate agent said, if you get this one, it'll be a minor miracle. If you get this one, this is an unsaved lady, it will be a major miracle. Guess which one we got? We got the major miracle. And it was part of one of, honestly, I'm going to tell different stories all through today because there's so many fun stories to share about what God's done. I want him to do it for you. God bless you as you master money in Jesus' name.